Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. So it's a Wednesday morning. On the phone right now, I've got Sidra Naeem. Have I pronounced your name right, Sidra?
Yes, you have, yes.
I do hope so. I'm terrible at pronunciations, so I'm really sorry if it was wrong. This is our final interview for our mental health series, and it's on the subject of grief and mental health. So what are your credentials, Sidra?
Okay, so I am a teacher, and I specialise in children who have mental health, which can be a result of special educational needs or anxiety or depression. And in the past, I have dealt with lots of children who have had, you know, bereavement in their families, like their grandparents may have passed away. Sometimes in school, we work through all of their problems ourselves, through them dealing with their emotions and things. And sometimes when it gets to mental health level, we do have to get bereavement counselling in through outside specialists. So I'm actually going to talk you through what we do in school before it gets to that high level stage. And I think it's really important to deal with the lower level stages first before it gets too high. Prevention is better than cure, isn't it?
This is a really interesting subject, actually, because when you do talk about bereavement and death, everybody's mind automatically goes on how they're coping and how they get hold of it. But children are far more complex, I think, than we give them credit for. How do you prepare them for a loved one passing? Because that must be a horrendous thing to do.
Yes, so you're very right. It's much worse in children. They show emotions a lot more. If you look at children, they cry more, don't they? You see, they get excited more if they see something, a firework display or something. They get much more excited than an adult would. So they display their emotions in a lot more higher level than adults. So yes, so you're right. You have to deal with them before, really. For example, if somebody is dying, that's the stage to deal with it at that minute before the person dies. So you can prepare them. You can say, you know, things like, you know, this is a natural process and the person is actually going on to the next station. You know, there's different levels within your soul. When you're born, then you live through your life, and then you are now going on to the next level. And you, in a way, get them ready that they're going on to the next level, and you may even meet them again one day. You know, like heaven, if you believe in heaven in your faith, you may say, well, they're going to go to heaven now, but one day you're going to meet them in the future. This is getting them ready at that stage before the person dies. You can also say something like, you know, the person's in great hardship at the moment, they're in pain, and after hardship comes ease. And that's a well-known saying in lots and lots of faiths and cultures. And the only way for this person to be at ease now is so they can rest in peace. This is what we mean by rest in peace. And also other things like some faiths, they believe that while the person's ill, their sins are getting forgiven. Like leaves falling off a tree. If you think of the autumn tree, it has leaves falling off it. But once it's the winter stage, it's dead. And then after that, it's going to blossom again. So that person will then blossom again in heaven. So you can talk about it like in the form of a tree, which they will understand through seasons.
Yeah.
And if you look at my background picture, that's why I've got a picture of a tree, and it's got life on the left and death on the right to take you through the stages. This is all stages of life, isn't it? So that's the beginning part.
So there's four stages that you take a child through, and that was the first one?
Yeah, so that was the first stage while the person's dying. If it isn't sudden death, then that's a good stage to try getting them prepared, if you like, for death. And then the next stage is when the person actually dies, and the acceptance is the next stage for a child. So the acceptance is, for example, the soul has lots of stages, and this is one stage in the life cycle of the soul, in the resting phase it's gone in. But after the resting phase, if you believe in heaven, it will go to heaven, which is the next phase, and you will meet that person again when you go through these phases. And that actually really helps the child. They say, oh, we're going to meet grandma again in the future. She's resting at the moment, and then she's going to go into a big garden, and we're going to meet her there in the future. That really, really helps a child, you know, gain peace in their hearts. And you have to also explain that everything lives and dies. A flower is alive for a while and then it dies. A tree is alive for a while and it dies. Even pets. People have cats or dogs and then they die after a couple of years. Goldfish die after maybe even within 6 months. If you relate it to animals, they understand it much better. They will understand it better. The quicker the burial process is, the better.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. The burial process is your final goodbyes. The more it's prolonged, the more the child gets worked up about it. So in some faiths, the burial is within 3 days. Within the Jewish faith, within the Islamic faith, within 3 days, normally you try and bury the body. And that's good for the child because once they've said their goodbyes, you will soon settle them. You will see them settled in school. And when the funeral is like 3-4 months' time, they're constantly thinking about grandma. Where is she? What's happening with her at the moment? We haven't said goodbye to her. We want to see her. That kind of stuff. So the bereavement process quickens and you get over the death quickly if the burial is quicker. And I do think it's important that the child goes to the burial.
Oh, really?
There are many parents who go to the burial and don't say goodbye. Don't let the child say goodbye to the grandparents. And they cry all their lives, we never said goodbye to grandma. So although you may think it's too painful for a child to see a funeral, it actually helps get over their grief process quicker.
That's really interesting because as an adult, you want to protect the child from the grief at the burial or at the cremation or whatever. But you're saying, no, they should go there and because it's the goodbye.
Yes.
Very interesting.
That's the final goodbye. And it's good for them to say goodbye and say their prayers, for example, for that person as well. Otherwise, you're depriving them. And they know the parents have gone, but you haven't taken them. So it might be a little bit traumatic, but it gets them over that grief, which will come later.
Yeah.
And often all the bereavement problems we have is because the child has not been to the funeral, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
It's lengthened their grief process, you see.
Oh, and what age would you say is quite important for a child to go to a funeral or cremation?
I would say 7 years onwards, they are ready.
Okay.
That's their junior school stage. They are ready to go to the funeral.
Okay. All right.
So that's very important. And some families, they stop mourning within 3 days, and that's good for the child. Once the person's buried, after 3 days, their mourning stops and they move on. So that is good for the child as well.
Yeah.
Okay. You can work through a child's emotions, which is the next thing after the person's dead and gone. And you can do that by journaling. The child can write down all the happy thoughts that they had with that grandparent. They can write a letter to grandma. Now, that's a really good one. They can write a letter to say, dear grandma, I really miss you, but I know you're in a better place right now. And I'm going to come soon and I will meet you in the future. When I'm older, I will meet you. And I may meet you in my dreams and things like that. That, in a way, helps the child to understand that it is still, it is still, the person's still there and they haven't completely gone from their lives. It helps with that bereavement process. So journaling, writing letter, self-talk, talking to somebody, that person is in a better place right now. So, they're not in pain anymore. They've gone through all their pain and their cancer and things like that. And they're better now. And that's good for the child. Working through their emotions is really, really good. Okay. And then the last part is reconnecting with that person who's passed away.
Okay.
Now, by reconnection, the child can do something in the memory of that person. They can plant a tree. That's a really good one, where they can see all the seasons going through, the tree dying and the tree coming alive again, which they can then relate to their person who passed away. Or a plant that can grow in memory of that person. Some people give money towards a bench in the park and they can write their grandparents' name on it. So they can visit that bench in memory of their grandparents. They should visit the grave often. If it's a burial, they should visit the grave to show, look, grandma is, resting in peace. And that helps them as well. Anything the grandparent taught them, they can mimic. So say, for example, the grandparent taught them how to eat with a knife and fork. They can use the knife and fork and they can remember that grandparent in that way. Anything they've taught them, they might have taught them to read or read a certain book with them and they can read that book, things like that. And they can take a friend, which then replaces that person that is lost. So say, for example, their grandmother's passed away, they can get maybe their grandmother's friend and give her presents when it's Christmas or any festival.
Yeah.
But in a way, you're replacing your lost grandparent with somebody else who you can then use to reconnect with and buy presents for or do good things for. Help them with their wheelchair, help them shopping. If the child's older, help them shopping. And that's like you're helping your grandmother, which is what
yeah.
you used to do.
Yeah.
This is called connection after somebody's passed away. Interesting,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it's a fascinating subject because I've never even thought about letting a child go to a funeral or cremation at all. It was, as I said a few minutes ago, you want to shield them. And I think that's quite a natural response. You don't want them to feel any grief, but
yes.
It makes perfect sense.
But if you look at an adult, yes. But if you look at an adult, say you didn't go, say one of our parents passed away and we didn't go to the funeral.
You'd have a gap. You'd feel a gap.
We would always feel we never went to the funeral. We never said goodbye. It's the same for the children. In fact, some children are more closer to their grandparents.
Yeah.
Because their parents may be working and their grandparents are bringing them up and taking them from school, collecting them from school and giving them tea at home and things like that. So children, you'd be surprised nowadays, are very, very close to their grandparents.
Yeah.
As what we may have been, because in our days, our parents and mums, for example, may have been at home and not
work.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen anymore very often, does it? Yeah.
Whereas children nowadays, the parents are working because of the high standard of living, and it's the grandparents, they're very close to them.
Well, Sidra, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll speak again soon.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.